what are your impressions from our country? I think it's a bit different than what you're used to.
Well, it's not the first time, as I said, but I really want to appreciate the fact that for a long while I've had long relationship with the German people in different ways. Through, first of all, the missionaries who came to Kenya. I have a priest from this archdiocese, Uwe, and he's in my diocese. He's a very good, hard worker man. He's retired, but he's decided to stay in Kenya. I also have other dioceses I've interacted with, the Diocese of Regensburg, who I've known people for quite a while. And they became like my second home. I visit and come back and go back. So today, I arrived only yesterday on the 12th of, today on the 11th of October. My reasoning is that due to the relations I've had with the World Church team, Nadim and his office, and recently I had the privilege to have one of your bishops, Shwandalap, being with us for 7 months, and he visited us and did a wonderful work, being just there as a witness and testimony of what a church can do and be. We are all brothers and sisters. We can help and support each other in different ways. So I was invited to be available also to animate aspects of the World Mission Sunday, which is coming on the 16th next week. And the Sunday mainly is to talk about what the church is all about and how we are doing and how we are managing. And despite the many things that are going on in the world, how we are spearheading evangelization, reaching out to people, especially promoting faith and encouraging those who are in dire need, and especially those who suffer and are in difficulty.
Well, I got this. If I get this right, you're celebrating Mass at our cathedral for World Mission Sunday. That's right.
I am celebrating, of course, by the invitation of the bishop here and the cardinal and so on. And it's an expression of partnership we have had, and also realizing the meaning of our Catholic Church is it's universal. Where we find ourselves, for whatever reason, we are part of that church, and we try to engage and all be part of the community as it is. We'll be having Mass at 10 o'clock on that particular Sunday. I mainly will just share our experience in Africa, and in particular, my archdiocese. In Kenya, I am the Archbishop of Mombasa. I'm also the chair of the Kenya Catholic Conference of Catholic Bishops. And with all these other dioceses that are like 26 dioceses in Kenya, and the community of close to almost 20 million Kenyans or 50 million Kenyans, we interact not only with the church, but also with what's going on. For example, recently we just finished our campaigns and then elections. And this was a particular moment the church was called to pull everybody together to try to speak and engage people to stop violence, stop discrimination in terms of religion, in terms of faith, in terms of color, in terms of parties and so on. And just to think about the Kenya we want to have. Thanks be to God, due to partnership with different people and different organizations, including Agiamondo, which is an organization supporting us here from here with their peace ambassadors in Kenya. We are able to work at different levels to encourage and provide ways of working together without having to fight.
Let's try to understand the Catholic Church in Kenya. What role does faith play in society, and what role does especially the Catholic Church play in this context?
The Catholic Church does not. The Catholic Church mainly work is to bring the good news of evangelization. In other words, to try to speak what Christ would be in our context. Everywhere we were trying to bring people together to first of all live their faith, and many times it is the Catholic community, But we also say the Catholic community, in any community, in everywhere, they're also mandated not to discriminate others, to pull people together, to walk and work as members of one family, and by so doing, engage in social issues like schools, social issues like alleviating the suffering of the poor, the whole issue of drought and people needing food. We engage our partners to support us, to support those who are in trouble. And during the campaign time, we try, and also we, as a church, we try to engage others in running hospitals, dispensaries. It's a social aspect of the people without discrimination. And we take it very seriously because we find ourselves, we are and try to be, as they say, the voice of the voiceless. Because without that, then we all discriminate and scamper into different issues that are not bringing us together. So the Catholic Church is organized in terms of dioceses. There are 25 fully dioceses and one what we call a vicariate. We can say it's like a small diocese, but it's not a small diocese where it's a place like Isiolo where it's dry and everybody. But actually, you can say 26 diocese units. And these units, each one has a bishop. The bishop or the archbishop of that place tries to be like with the community, serve each other and reach out to those who can support us, including government, including partners like other churches elsewhere, like Germany, like Italy, or anywhere other places. We see ourselves as a voice of the voiceless. We see ourselves as trying to support all those who are struggling in whatever form. But the faith issue is key because there are many things, if we say it in another way, there are many things that is propelled by the faith we all profess. The faith that we all profess pushes us to move towards not just the comfort zone, but to reach out to issues and areas that make our people suffer. We promote social justice. We are promoting where necessary issues of equality, women issues, where they are discriminated. We are pushing out where perhaps orphans and people find themselves in an awkward manner with other partners, the partners from anywhere. But more so, as I'm speaking to Germans now, I must appreciate the many teams which support us, like through Missio, you collect funds, you support our pastoral initiatives like churches, convents, schools, hospitals. There are cases like Miserio. These are organizations for many years have worked with the world over, supporting whatever they are doing, be part of their journey. And Miserio is one of those, education. And they have, we have, like in my diocese, Archdiocese Mombasa now, I have students supported just for the fees, because that's a big thing in Africa, and in particular in Mombasa or Kenya, where students have to pay school fees. And it doesn't matter whether you are whatever school you go to, they pay school fees. And there are many who cannot afford because of the cost of things. Things have gone, become very expensive. So this is an area, Miserio has done that. People like Church in Need is one of those other groups that have worked with us for many, many, many years, supporting different initiatives in different places, education, special initiative of self-reliance. And so this is as a result of the German church spread all over. So if I was to speak to the bishops of this country, I would say, first of all, to appreciate these initiatives, well-organized structures to support initiatives like that. Issues of communication, like radio training for those who want to go to training on different issues. The Missio Haken has supported us in different ways. So it is a truth that we could not have done what we have done alone. As a result, there's a vibrant church in Africa. There's a vibrant church in Kenya, such that the youth are well organized. The women are well organized from the structures of, from the grassroots, the small Christian communities, all the way to a full diocese and to the other diocese. We have a common pastoral plan, kind of, although each diocese can have its own, depending on where they come from. Issues of poverty still prevail. Like now, due to the change of climate and other things, there are many parts of our Kenya now that are suffering hunger, lack of water, lack of basic needs for people. And therefore, we cannot take it for granted, or that we have been able to. So I want to say thank you for that partnership of purpose. So coming here, I'm also looking at other ways we can strengthen that partnership. And I'm looking at what we have learned from a church in Germany, for example, green energy. Green energy, for me, it's like a game changer, where you can learn, you can run what I call grid-led programs in different places, and they can produce energy to do different things, to lighting, to cooking, to whatever. Because we are blessed with almost a 12-day sunlight, and it works very well. I've tried it many times. I have centers that are run by just solar. And now I hear a new initiatives that are coming up, hydrogen something, and I will be visiting such places to see how can we learn from these inventions. And I'm willing to bring it back, also initiate it among the other bishops, so that we take advantage of what the innovations that are coming up. IT is key now today. Education is key today. So in this way, we can be able to help people also earn a living, gain an employment, and also self-employ to become self-reliant in some way.
I always like asking the question to people from other country, not what you can learn from us, but what we can learn from you. When you look at society, when you look at the church in Germany, is there any aspect where you'd say this is where we should look for to Kenya for answers?
Well, I guess the Church of Africa, not Church of Africa, say the Universal Catholic Church opens up doors for learning. And one of the ways we do learn is through the interactions I'm talking about, where you can create partnerships of what you call exposure visits. One of the key that has made the big change is the Small Christian Community Initiative, started back in 1977 or so. They are MESEA. This is an organization of 8 countries of Western Africa. When we are thinking, if the Church of Africa has to survive, what should happen? And they came up with this idea of the Wonder Church that is self-propagating, self-supporting, and also they create initiatives to try to self-energy, which can also propel to other places. It promotes faith from the grassroots. And this has given us a chance, again, to have families dedicating themselves to volunteering work. We have many catechists in our country that are just volunteer catechists. They teach not because they are paid. They may get a little stipend here and there, but more so they are committed to propagating the faith. Another thing they can learn, we can also share, is that through that initiative, there's a growing initiative to look at ways to use the numbers we have together to bring about projects that can support themselves, like we call self-reliant projects. Some people call them in Kenya now family days, days when we meet and gather to raise funds to do a project for the diocese or for the parish or for the small Christian community. And those initiatives have borne fruit. And I believe if we have to succeed, we need also the partners who come in a way and help us accelerate this kind of initiatives. There's that. Then the vocations. due to, I don't say we there's something, you see, in, I believe in Europe and America and many things, where families have grown smaller. Also vocations gone smaller because the families, you have only two kids or children. You may not easily have some people volunteering or offering themselves because other pressures in the family. But I believe Africa, and particularly Kenya, dioceses are priests. Not that we have enough, but we can never have ever enough. I don't think so. Because even when Europe was coming to us as missionaries, those early years, they did not come because there were too many. They had many priests or any religious. They just sent people out, and they became catalysts. So there should be somehow an exchange program, and I tried it myself. Myself, when I was in the diocese of Machakos, there was a bishop of Santa Rosa in the U.S., and we sent three priests every given 5 years. And he sent us for new experiences and also become inducted to initiate other elements of relationships. So change of personnel, giving an opportunity to have what we have. For example, we have priests from still in Germany, as I mentioned, one priest there. And there are other missionaries that are there. Of course, there are fewer who come from West, from, Europe. But they have formed congregations. Say the Consolatas, for example. The Consolatas are an international congregation. They have everyone from everywhere in the world now. They're not necessarily from Italy. They're not necessarily from Kenya alone. So this is a growth of the integrated faith and mission. So the mission month for me is also to promote and ask and request and pray for vocations for the whole church, because if it's lacking here or it's lacking in Africa, then there's a, it's one hand should help the other. That's how I look at it.
There's a discussion in the Catholic Church about the word synodality a lot at this point, because exactly a year ago, Pope Francis opened the Synod for Synodality concerning the whole world. You're speaking as chair for the Bishops' Conference in Kenya.
Correct.
What are the wishes from the parishes, from the people, from the Catholics that come from your country that you're giving over to the Vatican?
Our synodality launch, if I may call it so, was on October 17th. And I remember I launched it in one place. I was opening a parish. Now, after that, each diocese had to collect its views and then hand them over to the national setting. Then from there, hand them over to the continental, which is basically Africa, as it were, at the site of... So there was a Dawson approach, there was the Amasean approach, and then there was the SECAM approach, which is more the Pan-African approach or stage. At the moment, all that is being correlated and then be brought to Rome. There's a team working at it, and it's working in progress, as it were. It's work on progress. We have not concluded. Because at every stage, there's looking what is common, what's different. And then there will be a synod next year with the bishops and others to see what came all through. But I know some of the things that came from Kenya. One, how to engage our lay faithful more meaningfully. How to take care of our catechists who have been so well working and devoted. And more so, how to increase the number of priests, religious men and women, while all of us walking the same direction to our lay faithful. That's a big one. Of course, there are some issues that come up with that. How committed are religious people, the priests, or how committed are in certain issues or matters? That is part of the journey. I know in some areas and some places it has become an issue of almost conflict. But surely in speaking, when a family is discussing their problems, they should not fight, because the problems are theirs to find a way to solve it. And because of every level, there is a kind of a team walking the same journey, I don't think I should be scared, afraid what will happen in Rome, because conferences and even synods have been around. The Vatican I, Vatican II, when it came with issues, even, say, for example, change the liturgy into local languages, we had wars, almost people fought. In fact, a segment went by its own. But that does not mean it's anything wrong. We're saying it's us to walk that talk, and that talk will help us eventually sift what we feel we can do for now. And we have the different stages, we have the different authorities that we are given by the church, the universal church, to guide us. Eventually, Rome will also be part of that journey. So I don't fear that whatever they have come up, many issues that some look a bit, I don't want to say crazy, look a little bit strange or not normal. But I say it is a moment we must talk, be open to each other, to speak, to say, this is happening, what do we do?
Which and is that, exactly the definition of the word synodality.
Exactly. That's exactly the scene. What do we do? This is, you're in a family and there's a roof is leaking, and what do we do? Somebody can say, oh, leave it until the house collapses. No, somebody will say, no, I better go up myself to fix it up. So there's this dialogue which is basically envisaged in these discussions, and eventually they'll come back to us to see what has happened. In fact, the church has worked that way all through. But the only time, this time now, because of social media and other things, things are going faster ahead of us and coming back to become like problems. They're not problems. They're part of the church is speaking about. Like now, the church in Africa, and I believe in Kenya too, we are looking at the strength and also looking at the challenges we have, which we eventually will ever, it will be concluded as a way. Work in progress. Some can be concluded. Some can be given segments to try. That we also always, like even small Christian communities, when we brought it up, many people said, what is this? We have never prayed Mass in our house. We always go to church. This is not Catholic church. You know, simple things like that. But now when you listen to people wishing Mass or a prayer, they are bringing it back to the family. And why? The church is the family of God. And if the family is strong, the church will be strong. So that's how I think about it now.
And maybe at the end, you were talking about the meaning of the word mission. You were saying that you shouldn't think about the different countries of the church, but to think of the church as a whole. There are first people in Germany, singular voices, who actually bring up the idea that at this point, mission shouldn't be something that goes from the Western world to the rest of the world, but mission should go from Africa to Europe, for example, because you have so many more vocations, for example. Is that an idea where you think that's the way of the future, or is it the completely different way to look at the whole problem in itself?
I think they're saying the same thing, Ronaldo. I think they're saying the same thing I've said, that to see the church as one family. So there's what you call a reverse mission, if you want to call it so. Reverse mission means they were always sending and we were looking like receiving only. But actually, it was not the case, because when they received, even those missionaries went back, they were not the same missionaries like those who were left behind. They became a catalyst of new issues that have come up and a new inventions and new ways of being. So the young people that are thinking that way, it's yes, but it is. I don't think it's limited to them receiving, because it's always a two-way traffic. There's receiving and giving all the time. Because when you send, or say Europe sends missionaries to us those days, we were at a certain level of education, development, and so on and so on and so on. Today, they are also being absorbed and become part of those missionaries themselves. There are new diocesan priests working, say, in Germany today. There are missionaries coming from other countries. So we have become a global village. So in a way, we are saying, what is that we can do together? That must be the answer. And looking at what is your strength, what is our strength, And where do we need to ask help from who? To see who has what kind of gifts. Like, for example, I give you an example. There's a lady collecting chasubles, thuribles, and, you know, church items. Eh? And she's from, say, Kenya, for this matter, or even from here. And they want to send these things to where there's nothing. You know, like I was once upon a time when I was in a diocese where I was opening parishes. I found myself, my goodness, where do I get a thurible? Where do I get a monstrant? Where? And they are very expensive. So somebody in Germany is collecting those that have perhaps parishes that have closed, or they have many, they would like to share them. And that person is collecting and saying, thank you, give it to me. I'll find their use in Kenya or in other parts of the world. Vestments are very expensive. I mean, a chasuble is not a cheap thing. A ciboria is not a cheap thing. So there is a give and take all the time. So there's never been a stop, do nothing. People find ways. I found a lady I worked with friends of mine in Regensburg. She collected the old chasubles. They formed a team of women. They repaired them and sent them to so-called mission lands. So anytime they were traveling, they said, I'm sending our diplomatic bag to Machakos, to Archbishop Kivuva or Bishop Kivuva or another place or a sister's convent. Somebody came as a tourist and he went to a Catholic church and the sisters say, can you get us a thurible? And this man, he comes from Regensburg, he came back and shopped for one and sent. So there's always a movement. There's the movement interaction that is going on. And I really appreciate it because once we were sent out, we were given an opportunity to support each other in the way we find ourselves and wherever we find ourselves. Of course, because the churches are structured in dioceses and archdioceses, that's a perfect way to interact. It's that a diocese can partner with another and support certain things, like the Diocese of Cologne. They have supported me in different projects I've done in the archdiocese. Diocese of Rottenburg, Diocese of Regensburg, thus, and the missios who are individual missios and mission people. So there's that friendship created helps us to go faster and for more. Come back when you're doing your holiday. I have a group in Vine Garden. And this came as tourists to visit my parish where I was as a young priest. That's back in 1970s, 80s. They still come from a parish or church called Vine Garden to as holiday makers. But when they're holiday, they visit the churches they supported. This is an ongoing, non-stop, and it doesn't matter. I left there already a while ago. They still come and find the people there. And this is a friendship for a long time. So we need to strengthen our friendships for a purpose of not only supporting each other, but also finding that we are not alone. The world is one global village today, especially due to communications. And then I come here to talk about the communication issue. Like your radio here, I'm sure it impacts on people very, very directly because it tells you, it shares with you. During Corona, I can say this, and I really want to appreciate people in media. During Corona time, it was blocked everywhere. We started up with 15 people in a church or in a basilica or in a cathedral. It was very difficult and it was painful. People to say, for the first time, we are stopped from going to pray. It sounded weird. But a way came out. Thank God to now people are doing Zoom masses. I identified one parish in the Archdiocese of Mombasa. And there we are. We had mass every day, actually. It broadcast live and preaching live, the readings of the day, encouraging people, the speeches from the Holy Father, supported from all kinds of things. And I want to thank people who supported us. We did, at one time, we calculated like 400-500 masses were said at a given moment. By the time we finished the most critical moment. Today, we still do. As I say, now I'm here. I'm sure tomorrow, the day they broadcast these messages, they'll remind you of those very hard times. people collected money through the social media. Now, so the role of radio, the role of TV, the role of what God has given us, we use it for evangelization. That's how we are.
What I take from this conversation is that we shouldn't look at the world from different sides, but that we're all one interconnected family, of the Catholic Church, especially, and we have to walk one way together, synodality. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Once again, to thank all of you, thank the Cardinal, of course, of the Archdiocese of Cologne, and my good friend who was also visited me and stayed with me, Bishop Schwendala. And we see the positive way the church can work. The world will never finish problems. We are here trying to find a way how we can live it. There are many issues between politics, family. There are many issues about how we interact. But the God has given us the opportunity to look at the best ways and the best practices in everywhere that we can adopt. And we encourage everyone. I know we are never perfect. The country is never perfect. Governments are never perfect. Look at what's happening. I would like to say, we are saddened, all of us, by what is happening in Ukraine and Russia. It's unfortunate, but we still have to say something. And one of the things, apart from praying, is hoping life is not lost so much. I mean, what we do, years ago, the Rwanda experience came into our world where people asked, how come by the time they killed so many people, what was the world doing? I'm always asking myself, is there something we're not doing? And perhaps we asked the international communities to rethink and think which ways. I don't believe guns are the only solution. Dialogue continues to exist. And the way that can be able for people to say, let's just stop it and say, it's because after we finish the war, what do we go back to? Nothing. Everything is destroyed from the scratch. Suffering, lives and death, and so on. Of course, people of faith, we say we can never stop praying, because one of the things we know influences our life is prayer and partnerships of the same purpose. I can say this from our country, when we are to talk about our wars on the country and the issues of conflict that has brought us so much suffering. So the world is there, but we're also there, and I believe we can do a lot. Christ himself worked at a very difficult moment when his country was under domination of the Romans. And many times he had this opposition party who were trying to get him out for, you're eating with us, we are eating with the sinners, and you're doing this with the other group, Bona, why are we, why the other? I believe we still can penetrate those wars through prayer, and through the understanding and even encouraging people to just stop the war. I feel like I'm saying, just stop the war. Look, the whole world, the Kenya is suffering because of that war. All world, petrol has gone up because of the same war. What do you expect? And I met my good brother, I call him so now, whoever is there, I say, look, think again, what is the solution? What achievement do you get? So if we left you the cities and go away, all of us, what do you do with them? So I'm so privileged. Thank you. And again, I want to promise you, and I want to promise myself, we continue to pray for one another, continue to encourage each other, and continue to walk hand in hand. Just like families, there are so many issues now. Broken family, children without families, and so on and so on. But we don't give up.